We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of land. It is the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sarah, America. Happy Thursday. I got caught Monday. I said happy Friday.
Really?
Brett Metter caught me. He said it's not Friday, Jimmy. So anyway, happy Thursday. I got Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in the studio with us today. So we got all kinds of things we're going to be talking about today. First, let's check out some temperatures, and then we'll do the Lipscomb Dealership's grain market update, and we'll just get right into Kent. And the text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. Matter of fact, I have a free meal package at 66 to go, fries, burger, and a drink. I got a coupon to give away. I'll take the fourth person, and it's really not even, I guess it's a question, but what's your favorite? Rye, Truticale, or Truticale, as Kent calls it, or, and I don't know which is right, but I'll just say it an easy way for me with my Jim Bonics language, or wheat. Rye, wheat, or Truticale, what's your favorite out on the farm to plant, and why? If you want to, say why. Text in your name and your answer, and I don't know, third, fourth, fifth text. I'll take a winner for a free meal package. How about that? 225-9697. Text it in. So anyway, temperatures around the state, Hollis, 86. Mangum, you are the hot spot in the western part of Oklahoma at 89. 81 at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon. 85 at Arnett, 87 at the May Ranch, 89 at Sealand, 85 out here at the, Beaver? And then out here in the Texas Panhandle, we have more of the same. 89 at Odell, 84 at Dozer, 88 at Canadian. So anyway, let's get right into what is happening. Oh, before I forget, you guys up in northwestern Oklahoma, you listening? I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this. It was really informative. I went to a lot of information. At the Great Plains Grassland Initiative meeting was held at Cheyenne the other night, and I went to it. It's really good. It's been put on by the Oklahoma Wildlife Conservation and the Quail Forever, Pheasants Forever, the Oklahoma OSU. Oklahoma Conservation, and the the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. There's one at Buffalo at the fairgrounds tonight at 6 o'clock. Defend the core, grow the core is what it's about. And I'm telling you, they had a lot of really good information. And the topics are woody plant removal, utilizing fire for livestock, importance of burning with neighbors, how agencies and prescribed burn associations are here to assist. One thing that I think I've got out of this, Kent, and you might fall in here on what I say, see if you can figure out anything I say, what it can do. So they showed maps of the eastern cedar trees take over, and the numbers are unreal, how much production and how much less cattle we can run because of the cedar trees.
Right.
So they had some infrared stuff or satellite stuff where they showed where the productions has came back and numbers are really good with cattle, and grass production off this land is really interesting. And guess where they was?
Where
these major fires have been since 2017. You could really see it where the Ray fire was.
I'm sure, yeah.
And so I asked the question, why do you think people are afraid to burn? Is it because we've had these wildfires? Are they scared of it? And Tanner Swank, who is works out of the NRCS office for Pheasant and Quail Forever at Woodward, he said, I asked him that question, and he said it's the smoky bear syndrome.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
The liability risk is really high doing that. And, I mean, there's times when prescribed burn would be a good thing, but I think the liability risk that people are scared of, so they just don't do it.
Right. And so the one of the deals was, we all remember growing up in the 60s and 70s, you seen the commercial with Smokey the Bear and blah, blah, blah. So we're into the third generation since that all started, or maybe the fourth generation. But, you know, I will – something else I've taken out of that meeting the other night and other meetings I've been to is these prescribed burn associations are there for you to use. And they work with the NRCS and all those guys to do these prescribed burns. And then it ends up not costing you a lot. But if you go through these prescribed burn associations, that takes a lot of the liability off of you. And they showed some numbers on there of what percentage – of fires got out of hand, and it was 0.01%. They had three fires in Oklahoma out of, I don't know, 700 or 600. I didn't write that down. 600 or 700 prescribed fires in the last 4 or 5 years, and I probably got this all wrong. Hopefully Greg Allen's listening, but only three of them ended up having any liability.
Well,
that's pretty good numbers.
Pretty good numbers, and I would assume that they're not doing these in the spring when all the wildlife is having their babies.
Right, yeah.
They wait later in the year where they can get up and move.
Because I follow a lot of the associations on the Facebook page, their Facebook pages, and it's usually summer, late summer, or now. And so anyway, but if you want to go to this meeting, it's tonight at Buffalo, up there in northwestern Oklahoma, and it is at 6 o'clock. There's a meal there and everything. So go, people from the NRCS, OSU, Tanner Swank, who works out of the NRCS office out of Woodward. He's now the big dog for Pheasant and Quail Forever. He's three or four states all the way up to Montana, but he is so good at what he does, and the people from OSU and the NRCS were really informing it. So anyway, enough of that. 6 o'clock tonight, Buffalo Fairgrounds. Be there. Attend it. It's really good. Let's see. Let's do the dealerships real quick, and we'll take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, and we'll come back, and we'll get started with Mr. Kent. The board looks terrible from what it did 3 hours ago. December corn's 431, down 1.25. March is 448, down 1.25. Soybeans are down 3.75 for November at 1052. Soybean meal, December, 335.80, down 460. Soybean oil is the only thing I see in the grain market that's up, and it's not much, not even a penny. October is 43.72. Let me back up. December is 44.63, up 99. And wheat is down 4.75 for December at 6.14. Let's see here. West Texas oils, November, 73.36. It's actually up $3.26 today. Natural gas, still not hit the $3 mark for November, but is at 2.96. The NASDAQ and the Dow and the S&P are just hanging in there. Actually, the Dow's in the red now. Live cattle. December, 186.35, down 135. February is 187.22, down 117. Feeder cattle for October, 248.02, down 170. November's 247.25, down 130. January's 241.60, down 47. Lean hogs, October, 84.20, down 47. All right, let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mm-hmm. Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Anything you can get out and about and do in the public to keep yourself out there, seeing what's going on, and you're knowledgeable about what's going on. You have customers come in wanting to do something, open a business or whatnot. It might be nice to have a little insight on your side. They have business plans. It's probably rare to find a business plan that has every little in and out thought out. So if you know what's going on around town, there may be something you could share with them that might either alter their plan, make their plan a different direction, speed it up, slow it down.
I'm Utah Robinson, and I help make the difference. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We do a ton of wholesale work with your mechanic shops, but it's also the DIY guy that has Saturday afternoon off. He comes in Saturday morning, picks up his stuff, and works on his pickup. It's a wide range of people. It can vary from the biggest shop in town to the smallest shop in town to your guy that works in his garage on the weekend.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes here. I'm speaking with Kent Watkins, owner of SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent, what's going on this time of year at SEI?
Well, Ron, we are booking seed for fall pasture. We have triticale, rye, hairy vetch, and radishes, which will make great pasture for this winter. And we also have winter cattle cube contracts available.
Thank you, Kent. For more information, give Kent a call, 580-225-0317. SEI Agritech, 1400 South Randall in Elk City.
XIT Auctions will be selling 335 acres of Greer County land Wednesday, October the 16th at Great Plains Bank in Mangum, Oklahoma. For all the details, go to XITauctions.com or call me, Aubrey Latham, 393-4440. 260-acre tracks with new steel fences, rural water, and much more, and a small 12-acre track with a good steel lock fence. 393-4440 or XITauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Wellington, Texas. Here's your ag weather forecast update. 85 degrees, heat index 83, humidity's 33, dew point's 53. The winds are out southwest at 10, gusting up to 13. Peak wind gust today, 19. Month-to-date precipitation, zero. No red flag minutes, no sub-freezing minutes. 8-inch soil temperature, 76 degrees. So that is your ag update for out in the Texas Panhandle. All right, Mr. Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech right here in Elk City is in the studio today. And if you got any questions for Kent while he's here in the studio, text line is wide open at 580-225-96. Hey, and even if you don't agree with him, send it in. We always like a good vocal deal anyway. So, I got a winner for the food coupon one anyway for the
Cupid
at the 66 to go. If you never ate out there, their burgers are so good. The codfish dinner is my favorite and our meal that they got out there. So, go check them out. They're out here in West Elk City on 066 right next right on the west side of Hutch's West Side for a reference point. Everybody knows where Hutch's West Side is. Anyways, the answer they gave me was interesting. Rye. Because it's rye. So whatever, you're the winner. You won me over with your answer. So anyway, well, Kent, been a month or two. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Man, let's just get into the, it's six now.
Yeah, we have six pillars of soil health, but the sixth one's easy. You don't really have to do anything except think about it.
There, so this ought to be this should be easy.
Yeah, it's real easy. So the first one for us is armor on the soil. Keep it covered. Keep it covered.
Yep.
And the second one is low disturbance. So that means no-till as much as possible. And third one would be diversity in plant life, different species, all in the same mix. Obviously, that is going to be an off-season deal for a cotton farmer or something like that, but there's room in the year to do that. And then a living root in the soil as long as possible, as many days out of the year as possible, because the single-cell plant life, or the single-cell life underground, that actually converts the fertilizer to a usable form for the grower, that's his house in and around that root, that living root. So he has to have that to be able to survive, to be able to convert your granular or liquid fertilizer to a usable form. And then the fifth one is livestock where it fits. You can get to where you're trying to go faster with livestock versus without. And then the sixth one is context. And what I mean by that is soil health, cover crops, it's not magic. Don't expect your farm to perform as well if you're in one first, second, or third year versus a guy who's been doing it 20 years. He's going to outperform you. But it's been my experience in the last 10 years that you can make big jumps in productivity really quickly. And then there'll be a period of time where you plateau out, and then later, not very much later, but maybe a year or two later, you'll make more big jumps, and you'll get to where you're trying to go. Now, with all that said, it really helps if we get rainfall.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
It doesn't really matter whether you're conventional or no-till.
It doesn't matter. Every system takes rainfall. So some systems take more than others, obviously. No-till cover crop takes more than clean-tilled, obviously. But we have to have rainfall. So those are the six pillars of soil health. I think the context is just as important as any of the rest. They get discouraged because their place doesn't perform right off the bat like somebody that's been doing it for a while. Well, the ground didn't get screwed up in 1 year. You're not going to fix it in 1 year.
Right.
So,
I'm learning. You've been helping me with the land down there. And I've seen them last year, but I'm really seeing the benefits of it this year.
Yes.
Okay, so I used brown millet and high gear for cover crop because I had that seed left over from last year. So
and
I put it
too
in.
You were too tight to buy any from me.
No, yeah, you were a little high. No.
Whatever.
But I did. I had that seed left over. So put it in, and I put it down thick. Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't put it down at normal rate. I didn't even put it down at the rate you told me to. I put it down thicker. And the reason why is I like it thick and I like it short. So, because it's a cover crop. And this is my personal deal. Anyway, I have no weeds out where my cover crop is. Now, this is my fourth and fifth year into doing this, all right?
Right.
And I had some weeds on the outside edges where the grasshoppers ate the cover crop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's normal. And this is the second year in a row I haven't had to apply any fertilizer from doing the soil test. Last year I had 52 units of nitrogen available.
Right.
From rolling down my crop like you had me do.
Right.
And then I burned it, and then I planted in it after I burned it. And this year, I didn't have to roll it down because we had a weird summer and things grew a little bit. And then they didn't grow, and then they grew some more, so it wasn't tall enough. And this year, I had 69 units of nitrogen available.
Nitrogen
available. And all I had to do was plant.
That's right. And at $500 a ton, what's that cost? Nearly $40.
Right.
So your cover crop seed, let's say it cost $20. You're starting to win the game right there. And then if you use the Haney test and look at it and really, really study it, you can see where commercial fertilizer will become a thing that you won't use at all going forward. Okay. There'd be no reason to.
Okay.
So, and then your soil health score will then continue to increase. Your soil respiration will continue to increase. So you're wanting those numbers, you know, to move closer to 70 than 10. And whenever we started, you were at like total overall soil health score was 4 or 5. And now the last one, report I looked at yours, they were above 20.
Yeah.
So,
but it's taking time.
Yeah.
The thing that gets me, I have a lot of people say, I tried that 1 year, it didn't work. It's not a 1 year deal.
No.
Rain, like you said earlier, is so important to the deal. And one of the armors on the soil is keeping a living root in there all the time.
Right.
You think your soil is going to get compacted. And it might in certain areas. I'm in sand, but I got some tight ground out there too. But this year, this is year number 5. I told you 4, number 5 on that corner. Now I can just go in there and sow because I've had something living in there so long. It's finally got it can breathe. My soil can breathe.
It's mellowed out.
And it's mellowed out, and I can go in there. But I keep something living in it all the time.
Yeah, so if a guy will go out there with a shovel and dig up a shovel full where he's been doing this for a while and smell that, it will remind him or her of when they were a kid and what dirt smelled like.
Right.
Okay. Where they haven't been doing it, do the same thing, and it either won't smell at all or it will smell metallic. That's from all the chemistries that we've poured on it over the years. And that's just the facts of it. Don't shoot the messenger. That's just what it is.
Right.
So.
And then when I go out there here the other day, I pulled some peanut plants because there was no-till peanuts. And that ground hadn't been tilled there in 3 years. And I'm just really getting this peanut deal to hopefully get me to the point. It might accelerate my process. I got there because of the legumes, maybe. But when I pull a peanut plant up, guess what? What's laying on the ground after I pull it up?
What?
Earthworms.
There you go.
And I'm not talking one.
Several.
Several.
If you build it, they will come.
Yep. And so with the army worms.
Yep. So, yes, they will.
Anyway, hey, let's get started on.
Okay, so for this fall, I'm going to state the obvious. It's very dry in a huge area. The things that people need to be aware of and watching out for, again, is obvious, but it may be so obvious that it slips your mind. The moth flights that we're seeing now are very heavy, but we have a full moon coming October 17th. The moth flights during full moons are traditionally extremely heavy. So 7 to 10 days after a full moon or a heavy moth flight, you can start looking for worms to hatch out. So keep an eye on your young wheat or rye or triticale, whatever you've got planted. Keep an eye on your alfalfa fields. If you see the blackbirds in the alfalfa fields, they're there for a reason. You can knock out the worms easy for a couple of dollars an acre. You can use Lambda, and then whatever surfactant you're using, you can do it for $2 and wipe them out. It's kind of a pain to have to go do that, but it'd be a lot cheaper to do that than it would be to have to replant something.
Right.
So that's kind of where we're at. Just And I would scout. You don't have to scout heavily, but I would sure scout those fields or at least walk out in them a little bit, at least once every 5 to 7 days, just to see what's going on. Now, assuming we're going to get colder, and you're starting to see some damage, but you're not finding any worms, just be aware when it starts getting colder, those worms are going to bury up under the soil, underneath the dirt clods at night and through the early morning hours. They probably won't come out until mid to late day, until it warms up. And then at night again, they're going to go right back underneath there. So as we get colder, don't worry about scouting those fields till after lunch. Okay. And then go look and see what you have.
Right.
Yeah.
There was the Cotton King. He's listening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, he says sulfur.
What about it?
So when I had Dr. Ferris on here from OSU, the entomologist, or however you say her name, the bug lady, I call her, it's a lot easier. You know, Jimmy had texted in and asked about what sulfur, and I guess she did a little research, and I guess sulfur will help with bugs, but I'm pretty sure the Lamba will still be cheaper than the sulfur.
Well, Lamba is going to be an insecticide. It's right. Pyrethroid.
Right.
It'll be a first generation. It's old. It came out in the late 70s, early 80s, but it's still effective.
Right.
The problem with the Lamba, obviously, is you're going to whack some beneficials along with it. But
right.
Nevertheless, the sulfur works best on sucking insects like aphids.
Okay.
And the reason it does is because it moves simple sugars out of the plant and gets them moving to make carbohydrates it gets the chlorophyll moving again instead of the plant in a droughty year, especially a droughty fall, where your wheat, I'm just going to use wheat, gets, you get it up and get it going, and we're dry, it just sits there. It's accumulating simple sugars in the crown of the plant, and that's where you'll find your green bugs, is in the crown of the plant. So you can apply that, and it will help start moving those simple sugars around. And when you do, you're not going to kill the green bugs with sulfur, but you're going to take away their food source, and they're going to get off the plant looking for the
different, move on.
But they're not going to be able to move very far, and they're going to wind up dying.
I got you.
What helps further with that is to add boron, 10% boron, at a quart rate per acre. That's the rate. It's not less than that. It's not more than that. It's quart. And that will absolutely stop the green bug problem in any crop, but it really shows up in cotton, and it really shows up in wheat in the fall. The key to making boron work is having 3 or 4 days of warm weather after application. And if you can do that, then that's not you won't whack any of your beneficials, and it still accomplishes the same thing. You don't have to pull cattle off if you're grazing or anything like that. It's safe, so you can go ahead and apply that. And it works. Works every time.
Speaking of that, Lamba, can you have cattle out on your forage?
You're not supposed to.
Okay.
You're not supposed to. But, it wouldn't take much of a rate to kill worms with Lamba. 2 or 3 ounces per acre will do it.
Okay.
So it'd be cheap. It's really effective. It works. But you are killing beneficials with it.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and take Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. And we'll come back. We'll continue this deal. I got a big 5-sentence question for you on the text line. So, anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It was 7 o'clock at night. My kids and I started watching a movie, and about the same time I had this weird allergy attack. My eyes, my throat, sneezing, and I must have blown my nose about 10 times. An hour later, I noticed it hurt to swallow. I looked in the mirror and the swelling actually alarmed me. Next morning, still hurt. My wife and I were supposed to go out of town. I didn't like the idea of traveling in pain, so I got medical attention. Tested negative for strep, tested negative for COVID. I was told it was probably just allergies and was prescribed an antibiotic and a steroid. I had them send the prescription to Colby. Half an hour later, I picked up the meds, took my first dose, and we hit the road. 2 hours after that, I noticed my throat didn't hurt anymore. My wife and I had a fun day. I had a pain-free day. Don't you love modern medicine? Don't you love it when your pharmacist has the medicine you need and you're able to start taking it quickly? Thanks, Colby. Grandview Pharmacy and Gifts, 1220 West 3rd in Elk City.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, September 30th. 1,413 head were sold, 10 head of steers at 590 brought 243, 4 at 721 brought 216, 6 at 760 brought 250, 5 at 809 brought 246, 28 at 898 brought 234, 14 at 920 brought 231, 21 at 922 brought 232, 8 head of heifers at 474 brought 260, 5 at 514 brought 240, 7 at 521 brought 261, 15 at 590 brought 240, 6 at 652 brought 220, 3 at 783 brought 227, butcher cows were 50 to 139, butcher bulls brought 100 to 153, bred cows were 1500 to 2000, pairs brought 2000 to 2525, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage, you don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way, because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County.
Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
The second annual McIntyre Red Angus Fall event is Monday, October 7th at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater, featuring 42 registered age advantage bulls. Also, an elite group of 17 registered heifers and over 100 bred commercial heifers. View the sale online at cci.live. For sale info, go to mcintyreredangus.com. A lot of great cattle is for sale near Sweetwater the first Monday in October. The second annual McIntyre Red Angus Fall event is Monday, October 7th at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Yeah, don't you guys forget that. Coming up this Monday, October 7th, the McIntyre Red Angus Fall Sale be going on. Got some really good bulls and some really good heifers. The bred heifers is going to be selling in that. So this Monday, 1 o'clock, I believe, they'll have lunch out there and the whole nine yards out there at Sweetwater. For more information, just pick up your new Penny News that came out this morning. They got a big ad in there. No big deal there. Or if you don't have one, just holler at me. I'll help you out on it. Okay, here's your weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. I picked Big Town of Buffalo because that's where that meeting is at the fairgrounds tonight at 6 o'clock sharp. 90 degrees, 87 is what it feels like. 50 is the dew point. Humidity is 25. The winds are out of the south, southwest at 13 with 20-mile-an-hour gusts. Let's see here. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 74 degrees, sunset 719, 95 today, 55 tonight, 82 tomorrow. And according to one of my informants up there in Roger Mills County, he said News 4 or 5 this morning said the next 2 weeks we're going to be around 15 degrees above normal and windy. So, it doesn't look windy tomorrow. Tomorrow looks beautiful. So, anyway, Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech is in here with me today. We were talking about the six armors of the soil. And we was talking about armyworms, talking about this, talking about that. Let's finish up the next 5 or 6 minutes on talking about that first section. We'll get to cattle feed, the last one.
Okay. So, as I started, we talked about... It looks like going forward that the commodity grains are going to be cheap. So if that's the case, and it looks like it is, don't sell carbohydrates, sell protein.
Okay.
So if you're going to do that, then you're doing everything for the livestock, whether it's cattle, sheep, goats, whatever it is, it's for the livestock. And then sell protein, not carbohydrates. Cattle market's good. There's probably some black swan event out there that nobody knows about that will affect that going forward, but a reasonable person would think, with the cattle numbers being as low as they are, the lowest in decades, that the cattle number, that the cattle prices are going to stay reasonably high. So take advantage of that. Sell protein. So if you're going to do that, then you want to graze through the winter. So if you're going to use a cover crop to do that, stop thinking about monocultures and use a multi-species. So when you think about cereal grains, wheat is dead last in any category you want to put it in. It's just dead last. It's dead last in biomass forage. It's dead last in root production. It's dead last. Rye is first.
Okay.
I dug a soil pit 7-8 years ago. We dug it down to 5 feet. It was triticale, but we had roots down to 5 feet. They were deeper than that, but that's as far as we dug. All right, so use a multi-species, so it would be a rye-triticale mix, in this example, at whatever planting rate you want, and then add 0.5 pound of daikon radish, and that'll help. It'll help bring back phosphorus more towards the surface of the ground, and then I like to add hairy vetch to that. Hairy vetch will save you if you have a dry spring and not much grazing. The cows will graze it. I've never seen vetch poisoning. Heard about it a lot. It's a little bit like Bigfoot. Heard a lot about it, but never have seen one.
Well, you need to hang out with me.
Yeah. And, you know, so that's a pretty economical blend. Graze it responsibly. If you're willing to sell graze, you can add more cattle per acre if you're willing to move them.
Right.
We have all that. I've been designing blends for people for 7-8 years now, and it's pretty easy now to do that. Be careful with the putting too much radish on. The big-time cover crop seed companies are using 2 pounds per acre as rule of thumb. That is way too much west of I-35. We don't get enough rainfall for the cereal grains to be able to compete with them. So what happens is they outgrow the cereal grains, and then when you get into the dead of winter, the radish burns off, and then you got bare spots all over the field where the radish shaded out the cereal grains. So I recommend 0.5 pound as a maximum. Quarter to 0.5 pound per
acre.
Did
you know I did that 7 years ago? Is that reason why you brought that up?
Everybody, 2 pounds used to be the recommendation.
I bought some for enough for 30 acres. Mm-hmm. This is before you. Mm-hmm. And out of Georgia, radishes, yep, and triticale mix. And I had a bunch of spots.
Yeah. Well, it's just mistakes that people make that you have to, you know, it's part of the learning curve.
Yeah.
But take it from people who have already been there, done that. Just cut the radish back. You know, it's not going to benefit you that much. And if you have a sandy farm, you really don't want that because it's going to be blowing.
Right.
You know, it's not that the wind is blowing. It is what the wind is blowing. So.
Hey, I got a question for you off the text line.
Okay.
You guys, if you got any questions for Kent, 580-225-9697. This person says they're getting 62 acres of row crop back from a 5-year lease next summer, but not till July 1st. Anything I can do or plant to improve the soil health, or should I just let it lay fallow and plant fall triticale in September? Been in no-till wheat every year of the lease.
Okay, so that goes back to one of the principles of soil health, which is a living root in the ground as many days out of the year as possible. So as soon as you get it back, assuming that it's going to rain, we have to assume that, get a summer cover crop in there as soon as you can, and then roll that down in late August early September, and then get to your winter crop after that,
right,
and just plant directly into it.
Right.
It's
it works.
Yeah,
it's
easy. It works. You don't have to spend a huge amount of money doing that, but that jump starts the underground life. It keeps them going until you can really get rolling.
Right. Okay, so one question, one thought before we go to this break here. So I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. He's got peanuts, and he's not baling it up this year. He's going to leave it on there because it's going to give a fair amount of phosphorus back in the ground. Mm. That's correct?
That's true. Yeah, as soon as it rots out, yeah.
Right. As soon as it rots out, it gets to use. So that's what I was looking forward to on a deal. Would you recommend if the guy can get a soil test prior to July 1st next year, if he can get some soil tests going to know what kind of shape his ground's in?
That's what I would do. As soon as the combine gets out or as soon as you get it back, run through there right quick, get you a soil sample, send it to I use Regen Ag Lab out of Pleasanton, Nebraska.
Yep.
They do the Haney test. There's probably a few others by now that are doing it. But ask for the Haney test. And when you get that report back, you'll be astonished at how much information is on there. But it gives you a good baseline of where you sit. And if you'll do that every year, you can see how you're progressing, and whether you're short in something or you need to tweak it a little bit here or there to get the ball rolling better for you.
Speaking of Haney's, I seen they were loading up their one ton on Facebook in Nebraska. Okay. What's her name?
Liz.
Yeah. Liz Haney loaded their one ton up full of food and water and stuff, and they were headed to the Carolinas.
Really?
Yep. And speaking of that, before we go to break, I just want to let you know that I was in contact this morning with the Georgia Cattle Association, and they're going to have me some information. They're still assessing the damage, and it's bad. And luckily, they're according to the Tennessee Department of Agriculture, luckily they were about 60-70% done with their corn and soybean harvest in all those states. And but they still had a lot of damage. Don't get me wrong. It's not, but the crop deal is not as severe on that's part. But the peanut deal in Alabama and Georgia and Carolina is not good.
Yeah, I would think it would be almost a total loss.
Yeah, and so anyway, so we're going to take an Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. We'll be right back with the Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
ASCO equipment may be new to Elk City, but our company is built on decades of dependable service. Whether you need sales, rentals, parts, or service, ASCO has you covered with top quality equipment brands like Case, Hitachi, and more. Stop by and visit us at our new Elk City location and see for yourself why ASCO is trusted by those who build, fuel, and feed Oklahoma. ASCO equipment, powering your projects across the Sooner State.
Hey, what are you doing up on the step stool?
About to clean these light fixtures. The whole family's coming over, and if there's even a speck of dust in the house, my abuela will find it.
Here, I got a Swiffer duster to help with that.
A Swiffer what?
A Swiffer duster. It has this cool extendable handle that reaches 6 feet to get high and low, with fluffy dusters that easily trap and lock dust.
So, no more step stool?
No more step stool.
Easily trap and lock dust from hard-to-reach places with the Swiffer duster. Love it or your money back.
If you'd like to tackle those home projects yourself, like building a privacy fence or spicing up the place with some landscaping, you'll need the right tools to get the job done fast. Rent what you need from DJ's Rentals and Sales on South Main in Elk City. They have gas-powered post hole diggers for fence building, skid steers for hauling landscape blocks, American Excavators for any type of digging that needs to be done. The best thing about DJs is the free advice. Stop by and talk to them about your next project.
Harvest Equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
Hey, farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Tipton, here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update for southwestern Oklahoma. 91 degrees, 89 is what it feels like. 54. Hope you guys didn't hear that at the other end. Anyway, I burped. 54 is the dew point. Humidity is 29. The winds are out of the southwest at 14 with wind gusts up to 20. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 79 degrees. Sunset at 7:18. Sunny, 96 today. Tomorrow, clear. Tonight, 62. And tomorrow, 95. But no wind. You ain't going to cool down like the boys up north. But anyway, in the studio with me is Mr. Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech. We've been talking about the armors of the soil. We've been talking about armyworms. We've been talking about fall forages. What are you planning for? Are you going for protein? Or are you going for the, what else did you say?
The carbohydrates.
Yeah. And so, anyway, do you have plenty of seed and stuff? If anybody's still looking, you know, because there's a lot of acres not planted out there yet.
Yeah, there's a huge number of acres not planted yet. Yeah, we still have plenty of triticale. Right, we have plenty of everything. I'm getting more vetch in. Should be in today or tomorrow. So, yeah, we're set.
So who's right, you or me? Is it triticale or triticale?
It's however you want to pronounce it.
Anyway, all right. Man, feed business looks like it's been good at your place.
Well, we have sold a lot of feed.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot. So I wanted to touch on this, especially on the cattle cubes for winter feeding. We handle the 28% protein, 8% fat cattle cubes. They're 100% DDG cubes.
And they're good.
And they're good. But people need to understand what the purpose of it is. People get hung up, I think, a lot more about protein, and protein is not the game really for cattle in the winter. Fat is the game for cattle in the winter because fat is energy, and energy, they have to have the energy so that they can shiver and keep warm. That's the whole game in the wintertime. Typically, cows can roam around and find enough protein, but the 28.8 DDG cubes has plenty of fat and protein. If I was a person who fed cattle cubes, the 28.8s outperform performance wise, and they outperform typically versus a 20 cattle cube on price. Now, they're higher on a per-ton basis, but for every ton of 28.8s, there's 560 pounds of protein in that. for every ton of 20s, there's 400 pounds of protein in it. So on today's, like if Jimmy Clark called me and said, hey, I need a half a truckload of cubes, or I need a full load of cubes, today those cost $400 a ton plus freight. So I don't quote freight because it's different everywhere. But if you do the math on just the protein, that's 71 cents a pound on protein alone. We haven't even talked about fat yet. If you compare that to a 20, you would have to get down to 285 to be even on cost of protein, but you'll never catch me on fat because mine's 8%. Most 20s are 2.5% or 3%. So know what you're buying, I guess, is what I'm saying in that.
Do your homework.
Yeah, do your homework. Also on 20s, and I don't care whose brand it is, that's immaterial. Look at the tag. See how much ash is listed. For those of you who don't know what ash is dirt. So how much dirt do you really want to feed?
My wife calls me ash a lot.
Well, there you go.
So I guess I'm dirt.
There you go. That's what she's saying, Jimmy. That's exactly what she's saying. But be aware of that. That's a nice word for dirt. I don't think they really want to put dirt on the tag. But just be aware of those things. And then do the math.
Right.
A 29% cube. If you have old cows, they're probably going to starve to death because those 29s are extremely hard. Old cows don't have teeth. They'll wallow them around in their mouth. They'll drop them. They won't get what they need. And they're typically only 1% fat. So you don't get hung up on protein on cattle cubes. That's not the game.
Not during the winter.
Nope.
Can you cut back on hay with those cubes?
Don't. 3.5 pounds per head per day is probably the target you need to be looking for. Have hay or some kind of forage out there so that they can fill up on that.
Okay.
The other thing I was going to mention that we have at the store now is if a guy is one that can't get out and feed the cows every day or every other day, we have a liquid feed called Mix 30. And we'll go out and set a tub. It's an open top tub. Mix 30 is safe to be fed, open top. And that way you don't have to go out and feed every day or every other day. You can fill that tub, that tank up once a week, once every 2 weeks, whatever it is. And that's another way to getting them to where they need to be. But you need that forage out there.
Yes.
Don't cut back on forage and feed more cubes. You don't want to do that at all.
Right.
So.
Good. So you got plenty of it at the store.
Yeah, well, you can still contract today the cattle cubes for semi-loads. But we have it at the store. So if a guy, you know, doesn't have a place to store a half or a full semi-load, I have a lot of customers come in and just fill up their cube box on their truck. They'll come in once a week or whatever they need, and we have them at the store.
Right. So, and then you even sell them totes, too, if they want to know.
Yeah, we have. We don't sell very many tote sacks of cubes. We sell a lot of textured feed, the MaxiGain textured feed for starting calves and all that. The totes, they typically just come get them in their feeders or their feed buggies. Not a lot going out in totes. Or if they're small guys, they'll just want 50-pound bags. We have all that.
Right. Yeah, they got these contraptions out there now to go on the bottom of those totes that you can use for
a gate
for all kinds of little riggings going on out there. And by the way, I'm seeing some deer corn sacks on the highways now. Come on, you guys, it's too early for that. Can you cut? Yep, same question. So anyway,
yeah, don't cut back on forage. Okay. In lieu of range cubes. That's not a good idea.
We got about a minute left. How did they get a hold of you?
Okay. So we're on South Randall, just about a quarter mile, a little less than a quarter mile south of the track. Phone number is 580-225-0317.
And he's got the tall tower on top of his granary out there. It's the only place in Elk City that's over 50 foot that doesn't have a vulture on it.
Well, I scared the vultures off about 3 years ago. They were trying to roost there, and it didn't work. No. Nope.
Anyway, yeah, it's been quiet on the black-headed vulture street here the last couple of days on social media. What's up with everybody?
I think everybody's taking their opportunity to do what they need to do.
I will tell you that I got a compliment from the boss and the salespeople yesterday. My first original black-headed vulture post had 32,000 likes.
Wow.
So anyway, music playing. Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Very informative. We had some participation. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank of Elk City and Sayre America. God bless everybody.